If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 495. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about beaches and Christopher Columbus, merengue and bachata, as we go to the Dominican Republic. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. And now let's talk about the DR. I'd like to welcome to the show Lebowit Lily Girma, who is a travel writer, a moon guidebook writer as well, and blogs at sunandstilettos.com, and is coming to talk to us about the Dominican Republic. Lily, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Is Lily the right thing to call you?
Yes. Okay. That's the simple version.
Excellent. And you're actually calling us from the Dominican Republic.
I am. I'm actually in Puerto Plata right now, where I'm based.
Excellent. And why should someone come to the Dominican Republic?
There are a lot of reasons. I think the main one would be that, you know, I've traveled the Caribbean a lot over the past 10 years. And I think the Dominican Republic is the most well-rounded destination just because it has very varied landscape. So there's literally something here for everyone, you know, whether you're an outdoors person into hiking or into beaches, of course, diving, birding, I mean, rivers, waterfalls, the variety is really astounding.
Excellent. And what kind of itinerary would you recommend for someone coming to the Dominican Republic?
I would say it depends on your interests, but I think that there are several areas that I think are really key. If you're going to come all the way to the Dominican Republic and really see the country as opposed to just lounging on the beach, I think it's very important to see Santo Domingo's colonial zone. The capital city has an entire area where, I hate to say it, but this is where Christopher Columbus first settled in the quote-unquote New World. And the colonial zone has been recently renovated, and it's lovely. It almost feels like you're in Spain. You know, it has huge plazas, sidewalk cafes, lots of museums. So there's a lot of history there. And then I would also recommend that people go to Samaná, the Samaná Peninsula, which is northeast and has uncrowded beaches. I would even say that top five beaches in this country are in Samaná. And then Puerto Plata, which has, you know, water sports, hiking, adventure. You could probably squeeze all three of these in 1 week. It would be a little tough, but you could. Another itinerary could also include what they call here the Cibao Valley, which is in the central, the heart of the Dominican Republic. It's, in my opinion, the most stunning part of the country that a lot of people miss. It has mountain ranges. You could actually hike the tallest peak in the Caribbean, which is Pico Duarte. And then you have Constanza, which is the agricultural side of this country, which is huge. They grow their own food here, which is really unusual for the Caribbean. Everything from potatoes to rice to cabbage. So you could see all of that firsthand. and eat fresh, you know, organic foods. There's a lot that people don't know about the Dominican Republic, I think, beyond the beach.
So you mentioned in passing, in talking about San Domingo, that there is a complicated relationship between the island and Christopher Columbus.
Yes.
As I recall, there are monuments on the island that talk about this being one of the places that was central to the discoveries. But on the other hand, there used to be a whole lot of Carib Indians that aren't there on the island anymore.
Yes, it's unfortunate. It wasn't actually Columbus's doing per se. It was sort of more of the ones that came after him. Like, it was a governor of Santo Domingo called Nicolás de Ovando. And he was the worst of all, and he actually set out to exterminate the Taínos. And so, basically, the whole Taíno descendants are extinct. Mm. You have still signs of them being here, like in the caves. You have lots of drawings and things like that, where they used to have ceremonies, you know.
Where would one see that if one wanted to get in touch with that somewhat darker shade of the history of the...
One could go to the Parque Nacional del Este, which is a national park of the East. That's about maybe a couple hours from Santo Domingo going east, in a tourist area, actually close to a tourist area called Bayahibe. Yeah, there's a huge caves over there that you can observe firsthand all these drawings. You can also go to Samaná. There's another park there called Los Aitises. I think that's one of the most unusual parks, actually, because you have to get there by boat. Hmm. You can't get there by land. Yeah. And then once you dock, you know, you can go in and hike through these caves, huge caverns with different petroglyphs.
Excellent. And then getting back to Santo Domingo, you mentioned the colonial zone. Are there particular things that we should see, sites that we should do, or things that we should eat in the colonial zone as we're there?
Yes, absolutely. Colonial zone is one of my favorite areas. In terms of things to see, I think at least one of the museums, a couple of the museums, but one of them used to be the home of Diego Colón, who was the son of Christopher Columbus. It's this huge palace where he used to live with his wife. It's been turned into a museum. And you can actually go in there and see all of the period furniture and art, everything, their beds, what they used to do. And it's guided, and it also has an audio because, you know, Dominican Republic is a Spanish-speaking country. So that could be a challenge if you don't speak Spanish. But in a lot of the museums, they have audio, so you can follow at your own pace.
And so that would be dating back to the early 1500s then?
Yes, it's really interesting. Going out of this palace, you can go down the street. It's called Calle de las Damas.
Street of the Women?
Yes, and it's because this is where the Diego Colón's wife and her ladies used to walk up and down the street. And this street is the first paved street in the Americas.
Hmm.
So the whole of, you know, Santo Domingo was modeled after Spain, and it was the first place that the Spanish sort of built as a model for the rest of the region that they wanted to, you know, take over. And so you have the first cathedral also in the colonial zone, which is a very interesting place. It's right across from a huge park called Parque Colón. And it's sort of the hub of the colonial zone. This is where everybody gathers and hangs out. It's a great people-watching place, you know, when there are serious public holidays, important holidays. The cathedral is where they have mass, and you have officials, and you have all sorts of parades. So yeah, the colonial zone is a must. To enjoy the colonial zone, you should go and eat at Maison de Paris. Maison de Paris is very well known. It's a place that specializes in typical Dominican food with a little bit of a modern twist.
And what is typical Dominican food?
Actually, the national dish is called La Bandera Dominicana. This is the Dominican flag, it's called, and it's a plate of rice and beans, similar to other parts of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. I was going to guess that rice and beans were involved, but...
Yes. With a stew of some kind, you know, whether it's chicken or beef, and then aside the potato salad or another other kind of salad. The difference is that the Dominican Republic has lots of different ways of cooking rice. So sometimes it's rice and beans, sometimes it's rice and pigeon peas, all sorts of yellow rice. They do a lot of variations. Other Dominican foods, they love fried foods here, which is good but not good if you live here. They eat a lot of plantains. And also they love pica pollo, they call it. It's fried chicken and lots of yuca. So that's all of the food really reflects how diverse this country is. You know, mm-hmm. you've got like African, and you have European, and then Taino, you know, because the Taino used to eat yuca and cassava and all those things. So yeah, it makes it interesting. And then they have sancocho, which is a very cultural thing. It's a big pot of soup with all kinds of meats, pork, chicken. It's just like you throw everything in there, vegetables, potatoes, yuca, and it's supposed to be really good for hangovers too.
Okay.
So yeah, the colonial zone I think is a must, and I think a lot of people miss it. But now they have a new highway that links Santo Domingo and Punta Cana, which is where most people go.
So Punta Cana is where I can find all the all-inclusive resorts and that sort of thing.
Yes, Punta Cana is responsible for giving the Dominican Republic this image of being an all-inclusive king. Mm-hmm. In reality, it is where most people go. They get like 5 million visitors here a year. I would say about half of those go to Punta Cana, if not more. So it's what draws people in, the beach. But now they can actually branch out easier because they've built all these highways. So doing a day trip Santo Domingo would be super easy now from Punta Cana.
Talking about beaches, you were actually heading us to a different peninsula here. You're heading us to the Samana Peninsula, if my notes are correct here.
Yes, those are some of my favorite beaches, like in Las Galeras, which is the easternmost corner of the Samana Peninsula. It has some beaches that are just unbelievable. I mean, most of them you can actually do on a boat tour. Mm-hmm. It's also the Atlantic Ocean over there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's cliffs.
So you're in the northern part of the peninsula.
Yes, you're in the northern part. It's just a whole different landscape. It's a lot more rustic. It almost looks like the Mediterranean, you know, to me, like... Kind of looks like the coast of Portugal a little bit.
And is it also resorts, or is it closer to the locals and the culture?
You're staying a lot closer to the locals, yeah. There are a handful of all-inclusives, but not as many as in Punta Cana. In fact, I would even say most of the country does not have a majority of all-inclusives. This is what's so interesting. So you have little guest houses. For instance, there's a place called El Cabito, and it's perched on the cliffs. Hmm. And it has spectacular view of the ocean, and it's in Las Galeras, again, on Samana Peninsula. It's close to town as well, so it's a great way to sort of be outdoors and mingle, go horseback riding or go hiking or just go to the village bar and hang out. Yeah, that's what's great about Samana. There's also another part of Samana, which is called Las Terrenas. Las Terrenas is a little bit more modern than Las Galeras, and it has a huge French expat population there. They've been there for decades. They have their own, you know, cafes and restaurants. The restaurants are incredible, and it's so affordable. It's all French. These are all French chefs who basically left France, got tired of the rat race, and decided to move to the Dominican Republic, open their own place.
Well, I was wondering, when you were in Santo Domingo, you named two different restaurants that were Maison de. And so I was starting to suspect there was some French influence that I was unaware of. So.
Yes, there is. There's also a huge Italian expat population. Italian, French, and yeah, so lots of variety. You know, if you ever got tired of rice and beans, you could go to Samana. Go to Samana and enjoy, you know, all the steak and frites and all these French things. And they also have a cabas, you know, where you get the French newspapers and newspapers.
Right.
Yeah, all these little French things. Really interesting. And gorgeous beaches in Las Terrenas.
And I'm guessing white sand beaches.
White sand, oh my goodness, like, yeah, really long, miles and miles of powdery and almost like spongy sand and calm seas, you know, even though it's the Atlantic.
Interesting.
So that's what draws a lot of people there. A lot of independently owned guest houses and hotels. So that part sort of attracts more like the adventurous types, you know, the independent travelers.
Excellent. And you talked about going to the local bar and hanging out. Is there something we should know about the Dominican culture before we're hanging out in the bar? Things that we should do, shouldn't do, should try?
You should know that there's always a bar somewhere and there's always a party somewhere.
Okay.
And all you have to do is follow the music, because literally there's music here almost 24/7. I don't think I've ever been anywhere where people had so much energy. It's incredible. So yeah, going to the bar, you should know, you know, how to order your beer, you know. For the most part, they drink Presidente.
Okay.
The Dominican beer. So there's different sizes of Presidente. So usually you say una fría, which is a cold one, you know,
one.
Or grande, which is the big size. Usually people buy the big one because it's more economical. You can share with your friends. They give you cups and you share it out.
Okay.
Or, you know, of course, the rum. Rum is huge here. Different types of rum. One of the best ones is Brugal Añejo or Brugal Extra Viejo, just, you know, extra aged rum. It's really interesting because you don't go to a bar. I'm talking about local bars here. in a local area. You don't go there and just order a drink. It doesn't work like that. You buy your bottle,
okay,
and your mixer. So and it's not necessarily more expensive. It's actually cheaper. So let's say, you know, a small bottle of Brugal Añejo would probably be like under $5, along with the mixer and the cups and the ice. So that's usually how it works. Even if you go to a local club, that's how it works. You order your bottle and you guys order your mixers and you sit in a group. There's no like, oh, give me a glass of rum and coke. That's usually more like in it's usually more in the hotels and restaurants and things like that. So I kind of like that concept, and it's really based on the sharing part of Dominican culture. They share, they're very family and friends. They do everything together. As a solo traveler, I don't think I've ever felt so sort of, you know, singled out, because it really sticks out when you're by yourself here. Because Dominicans are super glued together, super. So if I go to the beach, I mean, as part of my work, I have to check out all these beaches. And I'm there at the beach in all my lingerie by myself.
It's a dirty, thankless job, but somebody has to do it.
Yes, somebody has to do it. I started counting the beaches I went to, actually. I think it comes to like 95. It's kind of insane. But yeah, so I feel like people staring at me, and I'm like, what's going on in the beginning? And I realize this because it's so rare for anyone to go to the beach by themselves. It's very rare.
Now, I'll have to say, I've seen pictures of you on your website. There might be other reasons they're staring at you, but let's...
You're too kind.
Now, one thing you said is in the bar that they are serving that with ice, generally when you're someplace where you can't drink the water, you're not having the ice. Is Dominican Republic someplace where you don't worry about that?
Actually, you should worry about it. You should, because I don't drink tap water. You shouldn't drink tap water. Okay. It's not like in Jamaica, for instance, where you could just, you know. No, here you have to, you know, most people use filtered water or bottled water when they can. Mm-hmm. And most hotels and most restaurants offer filtered water. If you're not sure, then you should probably not have it, especially if it's your first time here.
Right.
It would be fine to just have a cold. Usually they ice all their drinks. I mean, you know, it's really cold. Oh. So you wouldn't need ice. But I think I'm immune now because I've been here so long.
Sure, sure. I'm just thinking there's many a tourist who has been caught by that.
You're right. Yes, you're right. Yeah, I haven't really encountered any, but I know that in my first visits to the Dominican Republic, at least the first one a few years ago, I had sort of a belly case, and I think it was definitely the water.
And then you took us to Puerto Plata next, I think.
Ah, yes. Puerto Plata is my favorite, one of my favorite regions. It's very special. The reason is, of all of the Dominican Republic's destinations, it is the most varied. You know, offers the most options. For instance, here in Puerto Plata City, which is the fourth largest city in the Dominican Republic, there's a little bit of history here, museums. There are a lot of city-type conveniences, like better restaurants. But at the same time, we have beaches. So if I walk about 10 minutes, you know, two blocks down, I'm on the Malecón. Mm-hmm. The Malecón is the word used for, you know, seafront boulevards. And they have lots of little restaurants, you know, all along the Malecón, and it's a great place to walk, jog. You know, they have a bike lane, and you're right there by the sea, and it's not polluted. It's very clean beaches. You can swim there in the city, which is kind of nice. And then at the same time, you could hop in a bus, in a public bus, about 40 minutes from here and be in Cabarete. And Cabarete is more touristy, but it's also, you know, super mixed. It has huge kite surfing, and there are lots of excellent restaurants all along the beach. It's more social. It has a really nice cosmopolitan vibe. Mm-hmm. You know? So a lot of people go and stay there. Lots of affordable hotels and guest houses, beachfront or apartment, and a huge nightlife scene, mm-hmm. if you like that kind of thing. You know, with all the bars and lounges are all on the beach, beachfront, all of them. And at night, it's like basically just all you have to do is just walk two steps to the next one and the next one. until you stumble and go back to your room. That's kind of nice if you like that. Yeah. Then there's lots of diving nearby in Sosua. It's not the best diving in the world, but it's still there. And there's also cave diving here, which is a huge thing if you're certified to cave dive.
And not the best diving because of the clarity of the water or?
No, the water is beautiful here. Okay. Unfortunately, it's Sosua. It's sort of the reef has suffered from so many tourists trampling on the reef, sad to say. So it's not so great in that part, but it is better when you go to the northwest in an area called Monte Cristo. Mm-hmm. Spectacular diving. That's because not a lot of people get out there. So those are the Puerto Plata is a very special area. It's also another thing I want to mention about Puerto Plata. is that it's much more cultural. Like, you really, if you come here, you have more of an opportunity to meet people, to talk to locals, you know, to learn more about the culture. Mm-hmm. They also have a very interesting community tourism group here, and they've basically united about 6 or 7 small towns that are part of the province of Puerto Plata. And each one of them offers a unique cultural experience.
Such as
there's a merengue experience. Merengue, as you know, is a huge Dominican thing here. And so
a dance for those people who may not know that. I assume everybody does, but
that's true. The dance and music, national dance and music of the Dominican Republic. You can go to Guananico, which is one of the municipalities here in Puerto Plata. And they give you a merengue experience, which is basically learning about the history of merengue, learning about the instruments. You get to play some of them, you know, the three main instruments, the drums, the güira, which is a sort of a metal thing that comes from the Taíno that makes a really unusual sound. And then the accordion, which is European. So you not only you're learning, but you're learning from generations of merengue musicians who were born there, lived there, grew up there, and are award-winning musicians because they come from this Guananico, which is supposed to be the heart of merengue in the Dominican Republic. So you can go and spend a day with them, and then, you know, the day ends with you, you know, learning how to dance merengue, a few lessons of dancing, all in the village and having lunch there and all of that. So it's really great. Another one is the cacao experience. As you know, the Dominican Republic is a major cacao exporter.
Okay, now you got me.
Yeah, chocolate.
That I can sell to my wife. Okay.
You can go to Hacienda Cufa, which is also in the Puerto Plata province, and basically learn everything about how they grow cacao. And it ends, of course, with lots of chocolate tastings, hot chocolate, all sorts of things.
Again, it's a dirty, thankless job.
It's a tough job. Yes. And then if you're not into cacao for whatever crazy reason, you can go to a coffee plantation and try the coffees. You know, Dominican Republic also grows coffee. So you have all these experiences in one place. So if you were to focus your entire week in Puerto Plata, I mean, it's amazing how much you could get done and how much you could learn in one place.
Interesting. You mentioned getting in touch with the culture, too. I'm curious if there are particular days of the year or festivals or whatever that would be great in terms of really getting an idea of what it means to be Dominican.
Yes. I actually recently went to a Merengue Típico festival. It's the second annual one they've ever done. And I thought it was just fantastic. It was also held in Guananico, with the village I mentioned, the town I mentioned. And it featured all of the major merengue artists that go way back. It's really nice because you get to see an entire generation on stage, you know, the dad, the nephew, the cousin. And it's an entire night. And then, of course, you know, at festivals, it's common to have, you know, lots of drinks. It's usually cheaper drinks than usual because the events are sponsored. And then you have the local bars that surround the event and sell grilled chicken or yuca and all sorts of Dominican foods. It's a great time, people dancing. So that would be one of them. So, that would be one festival. The other one, I would say Carnival is huge here in February. Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely the most Dominican thing you can do. Just because they have, you know, sorts of different Carnival characters, folkloric dances, costumes are amazing. They have these devilish masks, you know, and things like that. That's a good, really good time to immerse. And then, of course, lots of food and crafts and everything Dominican around that time. And everybody's in a great mood. Carnival is every Sunday in February all over the country. And then the last February, there's a huge parade in Santo Domingo. And then it ends with independence festivities.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I would say that's definitely the top month of the year to come here and learn all things Dominican.
And as you said, this is enough to do for 1 week easily with what you've given us so far. But you had two more places you wanted to talk about.
Yes. So the other parts of the country that I would love to talk about, and I think very few people know about, is the central part of the Dominican Republic. It's known as the Cibao Valley, and it includes Jarabacoa. It's a little hard to say, but it's Jarabacoa, which is a mountain resort town. And an hour away from Jarabacoa is Constanza, which is really the agricultural heart of the Dominican Republic. Jarabacoa is just stunning. It's mountains, pine forests, it's rivers running through the town, several rivers actually, and waterfalls, you have lots of mountain lodges, and you can actually stay in a riverfront lodge. Oh my God, it's stunning. I mean, I've seen a lot of landscapes in the Caribbean, but I think this one beats them all. I haven't been to Cuba yet, but this is really amazing. And then you have lots of adventure outdoor sports because of it. So you could go hiking. I went hiking. I think it's the first mountain I've ever hiked. It's called El Mogote. And I'll never forget it. It was hell. It was great when I was up there, but the view is spectacular. But yeah, it was painful. In Constanza, you have lots of agriculture everywhere you turn. There's, and they actually call it the Switzerland of the Caribbean.
Hmm. That's a mental image that I was not expecting. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. And I actually just published a piece in onafar.com, but it shows you some of these images. And it's farmlands, gorgeous, colorful, and different colors because of different vegetables. They also grow flowers and they have flower plantations. Yes, because they had Japanese immigrants, you know, back in the 60s, who came and helped develop this agricultural industry. It's stunning. It's really the real Dominican Republic. It's campo life. They call it campo, meaning, you know, the real farm type life. You have shacks and just valleys and forests. There's a park there called Valle Nuevo National Park, an hour deeper inside Constanza. And there's a lodge there, too, within the park. Temperatures, by the way, drop when you're up there.
I would
think 4,000.
You're going to be going to Dominican Republic packing a jacket and people are going to think you're strange.
But it's lovely. It's not like sort of, you know, our kind of freezing cold. Mm-hmm. It's really nice fresh air. And it's at night, it does drop at night. You know, they have, the lodge has little cabins with fireplaces. Yeah, you almost think like, am I really in the Caribbean right now? And pines, and oh my gosh, it's just amazing, really amazing. I think everybody should go. I almost want to say that if you haven't been to the Cibao region, you have not been to the Dominican Republic. I don't care how many beaches they have here. Yeah, really, it's really spectacular.
And I'm gathering this is from somebody who actually likes beaches.
Yes, I mean, I like beaches, absolutely. I love it all, you know, but this is what I love about it here is that there's so many variations. If I get tired of the beach, I can go to the mountains. You know, if I get tired of the mountains, I can go southwest, which is another little known area of the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Most people know it as Barahona. And it's a southwest province, and it's like the desert.
So you're on the border with Haiti at this point.
You are closer to the border, yes. You're, you know, minutes from the border. But this landscape is completely different. The beaches are actually pebblestone beaches, no sand. But the water is just this really super bright turquoise. Similar to what you find in Haiti. I was in Haiti earlier last year. You also have mountains up there and some of the best coffee they grow. If you're into birding or if you are into nature reserves and hiking, that's the best part of the country because almost nobody goes there. So it's the best preserved areas. The Sierra de Bauruco is one of the parks, the national parks where you can go hiking. And Polo is where they grow the coffee. So you could literally go on a coffee trail hike.
Excellent. And I'm gathering for getting around, you're recommending renting a car since you were talking about the highways?
Yes, you could. Yes. I would say if you're an experienced driver in the Caribbean, you've driven in the Caribbean before, you could very well drive. There's plenty of rental companies. All of the major rental companies are here. And the highways are excellent. You know, that's one of the things about this country. I guess it is one of the most developed in the Caribbean and Central America. So roads and highways, generally not a problem. And the only thing is that you really have to be a really good defensive driver.
Okay.
Because they kind of drive nutty here. They drive defensively and speeding is a problem. So as long as you're aware of those two, and then also you have a lot of motorbikes, you know, here, motorbike taxis are huge.
Oh, okay.
And also to get around because it's cheaper and gasoline is so expensive that a lot of locals own scooters or bikes. So you always have to be on the lookout. I can't stress that enough.
Okay.
They could pop out of anywhere, as well as cows. Cows.
They pop out slower, at least.
They pop up. One time we were coming back from, I think it was Bahia de las Águilas, which is one of the famous deserted beaches on the southwest. And we're coming back and, you know, driving normal speed. And all of a sudden, the driver, who thankfully was more experienced than I am, probably, is like, oh, my God. And, you know, slows down. Like, what's going on? And I look up and there's a cow just sitting on the road. Not even just walking, just relaxing, you know, sitting there. We're like, oh my goodness. If you didn't know and if you didn't expect these things, that could be That could be really bad. Disastrous.
You know what you call that when a cow is sitting on the ground?
No.
That's called ground beef.
Oh, my God.
I normally ask the guests, what yeah. do the guidebooks recommend that that they didn't find as enjoyable? But since you wrote the guidebook to Dominican Republic, what has the tourism board directed you to that didn't make it in the guidebook because you didn't think it was worth the time?
Oh, my God. Am I getting in trouble for saying
Probably, yes. It's clear that you love the Dominican Republic, so there's no way you can get in trouble at this point. So,
I'll be honest with you. I absolutely love Dominican Republic. I also think that it has so much more than what is being marketed.
Yeah, I get that impression. Mm-hmm.
Yes, unfortunately. And I'll even say that the tourism board is missing some of it. But it's not necessarily that they don't make it in the book, mm-hmm. if not that I don't really give it a glowing review.
It's not where you tell your
I tell people not to waste their time, yes, or money. For instance, there are some really gimmicky attractions and also some, some attractions that
you say that as if it were a bad thing.
Yeah, I know. Some attractions that I don't support in terms of responsible travel, okay. You know. For instance, Ocean World. There's an Ocean World here. Mm-hmm. I was invited to by tourism boards, but I went and I couldn't stomach it for more than 30 minutes. Mm. I mean, it's just a treatment of animals, you know. I could see how it could be interesting for kids, mm-hmm. you know. The dolphins and all of that stuff, but I don't recommend places like that at all.
Okay.
What else? In Punta Cana, mm-hmm. Which is probably where the most gimmicky tours are, there's a snorkeling trip aboard a pirate ship.
Okay.
And I swear to you, I think that was probably the most painful 4 hours of my life here in Dominican Republic, I hate to say. It was awful. Oh my God. That did not make it in there at all. They didn't make it in the book.
I think I've done one dinner cruise on a pirate ship before.
That might be better, actually. I don't know. You know, just because it's at night. Yeah, yeah.
There's a whole lot of pirate talk. So you have to just be in the right mood for that sort of thing.
Yeah. And also the snorkeling was just really not much at all.
Oh, okay.
And all they did was just throw food in the water. And there was this little fish coming up. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's not snorkeling. So, yeah. So I definitely alert people to places like that. But that kind of gets a lot of press, and it also gets a bad rep for having so many inclusives, all-inclusives. Mm-hmm. But there's a trend now pushing towards luxury in Dominican Republic, mm-hmm. and also pushing towards having people go out and experience things.
Oh, interesting.
So it's interesting. Yeah, it's sort of a shift, you know, because mm-hmm. now resorts are realizing, well, you know, people do want to get out. People do want to immerse more. So there are more day trips being offered. There are more safaris being offered from Punta Cana.
Excellent.
But also there's a section of Punta Cana that is known as Bávaro. And I don't think that a lot of people know this, but you could go there as an independent traveler. You don't have to stay stuck in an all-inclusive. They have, yeah. I mean,
tell us how options. You really feel.
There's a hostel in Bávaro. Believe it or not, there's a hostel mm-hmm. in Punta Cana. And it's quite decent. And it's close to the beach. It's 2 minutes from the beach, walking distance, and all the restaurants and whatnot. And there's a little part of Punta Cana that isn't super touristy, mm-hmm. like people think.
Well, and when we say about getting stuck in the all-inclusives, I'm guessing your feelings are like mine, or you don't want to go to an all-inclusive just because you're afraid to get out and experience the culture. That's definitely the wrong reason to do that.
That's
for
right.
For some people,
that's
they're
right.
really looking for the things have been so hectic, I just need a place
yes.
to relax and not have to think about things. That's not a bad reason to
and
go.
And I think that's totally yeah. valid. Yes, totally valid. And if you're going to do that, do it at a really nice luxury all-inclusive.
Okay.
Because it's worth splurging just mm-hmm. to have that exclusivity and be away from the crowds. Like a lot of these resorts now offer like what they call preferred clubs or okay. preferred family and whatnot. And you get, you know, separate pools and separate snack lounges and things. I think that makes such a huge difference. And it's also about selecting the right resort if you're going to do that.
Right.
You know?
Well, and then I think we're encouraging you here that even if you're staying in the all-inclusive resort, it doesn't mean you can't get out and experience some of the country, too.
Absolutely. Don't believe, you know, if they tell you, oh, no, it's dangerous out there or whatnot, there's nothing could be more untrue. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm a female, too, and I've traveled the whole country solo. And you might need to know a few phrases of Spanish, just to, mm-hmm. you know. But people here are so warm. That's one of the things I love here. They're very hospitable people, Dominicans, you know, and I think they're very misunderstood too. You know, a lot of people want to say things. I can't not speak about this, but in the press, you know, in the last few months, stuff about Haiti and Dominican Republic, and a lot of people are saying, oh, Dominicans are racist. I can't even imagine an instance where I've witnessed that at all. And I think it's all very political. So I hope that people are keeping an open mind and will come here and see for themselves, because I think Dominicans are some of the most special people in the Caribbean.
Excellent. Before we go to my last four questions or so, anything else you want to tell us that we need to know before we go to the Dominican Republic?
I would say learn the courtesy words in Spanish. Mm-hmm. Courtesy is huge here. I think that's something everybody should know. It's pretty amazing. Like, you know, if you enter a public bus or public transportation, whoever is entering has to say hello. you don't just go in and sit down. It's rude.
Can I get by with hola though?
Yes, you could say hola. Usually
that's not hard to say at all.
Usually they say saludos.
Saludos.
Mm-hmm. Saludos, and you sit down, or buenas, you mm-hmm. know.
Good.
And some people respond, some don't, but it doesn't matter, you know. Everybody does it. Or you mm-hmm. enter a small local restaurant or a local corner shop called the Colmado. The Colmados are huge here. We didn't talk about that. But it's a little corner shop / bar.
Okay.
So if you enter, just say buen día. You know, just learn a few por favor, gracias, the basic courtesy words for sure.
I found a good smile can get you pretty far too. So.
Yes, always. That's universal.
Excellent. You're standing in the most beautiful spot you have seen in the Dominican Republic. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I will tell you one that had me just gasping. It's called Playa del Valle.
Mm-hmm. So it's a beach.
It's a beach. And it's a beach that's a little bit more difficult to get to.
Okay.
Not a lot of people get to. And it's about 30 minutes north of Samana town.
Mm-hmm.
On the Samana Peninsula, and it's just breathtaking. It is about, I would say, 2 miles, but it's sort of crescent shaped, and it mm-hmm. has huge cliffs towering over the beach, and it's a golden sand. There are lots of little fishermen canoes usually mm. parked there, and sometimes if you're lucky, you'll see fishermen, you know, with their nets. To me, that was just really just an amazing sight. That's just one. So many.
Excellent.
Another one. Can I give another one?
Sure.
That was
sure.
when I went paragliding
mm-hmm.
over the mountains in Jarabacoa in the central mountain area.
Mm-hmm.
And that view is one I'll never forget. It's amazing. It was basically, I was at the top of the whole Caribbean, the highest point,
right.
paragliding. So, yes.
One thing that makes you laugh and say only in the Dominican Republic.
When you call the corner store to have beer delivered, that's definitely only in Dominican Republic. They deliver. Everybody here delivers, by the way.
Oh,
pharmacies deliver. Mm. The bar delivers. It's awesome. I love it.
That's probably a better safety tip there anyway.
Yes, that's true.
Finish the sentence. You really know you're in the Dominican Republic when what?
You really know you're in the Dominican Republic when you hear merengue or bachata in the streets every day.
And bachata is?
Bachata. Bachata is another one of the Dominican Republic's musical styles and dance. Mm-hmm. It's very popular. It's actually gaining in popularity over merengue. Also very popular in the United States.
Hmm.
That's where I first heard it.
Okay. I'm clearly hanging out in the wrong places, so.
Yes, and it's a lot more of a romantic, sensual type of music.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all about love and romance. So they love that here. So yes, you definitely know when you're in Dominican Republic when you hear bachata every single day in the streets.
Excellent. And last question, if you had to summarize the Dominican Republic, the DR, I am surprised that I didn't resort to that somewhere in the middle here, in 3 words, what 3 words would you use?
Fun, warm, stunning.
And I'm guessing you're using that warm in a couple different ways there.
In many ways, yes.
Excellent. Our guest again has been Lebowit Lily Girma, author of The Moon Guide to Dominican Republic, but you're also writing another guide right now.
No, actually, that's the one I'm writing.
Oh, that's the current
one.
You've already written The Moon Guide to Belize. All right.
I've already written Moon Belize and Moon Belize Keys.
Oh,
and
okay.
Moon Dominican Republic will be out in the fall of 2016.
Excellent. And your blog, you blog at sunandstilettos.com. Now, do you wear your stilettos to the beach?
Not anymore.
Anymore.
No. That's where, you know, I started this blog a long time ago before I did this for work. And I thought, okay, what are two things that I really love? I'm like, okay, sun and stilettos.
Excellent.
And then I started traveling more and I realized that there's no space for stilettos in my suitcase. So, no.
And do you have a recent article on the Dominican Republic on your blog or somewhere else? You mentioned the Afar article that you want to refer us to.
Yes, the Afar one is pretty good. It's called The Most Underrated Landscapes in the Dominican Republic.
Excellent.
And it's on afar.com.
If you send me the URL, I'll put that in the show notes.
Okay.
And people will be able to see that even just in the lyrics of this episode. We put all the links that we talk about.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Lily, thank you so much for coming on The Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your obvious love for the Dominican Republic.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'd like to start the news of the community with a bit of an apology. For those of you who are on the mailing list, you already heard this, but when we did the episode last week about San Diego, twice we made reference, obscure reference, to the Wild Animal Park, and we were planning on talking about it. At least I was planning on talking about it at the end, and then we forgot. And then I was going to put it at this point in the episode, and I forgot again. So anyway, my apologies for that. Definitely something I would recommend if you're in San Diego. Also, I would recommend, if you want personalized apologies like that, join the mailing list. Mitch made my week this week with this letter. I feel compelled to write you a quick thank you for the podcast. I am 27 and have never taken a vacation outside of North America. I was always planning a trip to Europe or Asia or Latin America, somewhere, anywhere, but there always seemed to be a reason not to go. Well, to make a long story short, I was inspired by you and the many guests on your podcast to finally just do it. As I write this, I am sitting in my rented apartment in Santiago, Chile. I have spent the last few weeks exploring Argentina and Chile and have loved every second of it. While I do look forward to coming back home in a few days, I know that when I get there, I will let my mind wander to the next location, and I will undoubtedly continue to use your podcast as inspiration. Thank you again, Mitch. And thank you, Mitch. One, it's encouraging when I get this sort of news. And then it's also useful for me. I'll probably include Mitch's quote and some quotes that I've gotten from some of the rest of you in the media kit that I do, because it's useful for me to be able to tell people, you know, see people listen and that they actually act on some of the things we talk about is helpful. So thanks again. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email like Mitch did to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. You can follow me on Pinterest, Instagram, or Twitter as Chris2X, and as always, thanks so much for listening.